Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind here on ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. I'm Brian McCallan. This show airs every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Dr. Roberto Monducci is a professor of computer engineering at the University of California, Santa Cruz, or UCSC. Dr. Monducci's research focuses on accessible technology for the blind and visually impaired. Two of the pieces of technology are wearable sensors and mobile computer vision for information access and increased spatial awareness. Dr. Monducci holds a Dottorato di Ricerca in Electrical Engineering from the University of Padova, Italy. The professor joins us to tell us about the technologies that help the blind live productive lives. Dr. Monducci, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you too. So let's get to know you first. UCSC says that you got your Dottorato di Ricerca in Electrical Engineering from the University of Padova, Italy in 1993. What does that translate to in English?
Well, the Dottorato di Ricerca is the Italian equivalent of a PhD. And I had it at the University of Padova in 1993, actually. And Padova is a beautiful town with the second oldest university in Italy from 1222. Just a little bit of folklore.
And is the University of Padova that oldest university there?
It is. The professors are not that old, thankfully.
Yeah. So why did you decide to go for this degree?
Well, I guess that I really enjoy doing research. I was attracted by the possibility of exploring new technologies. And I said, why not? I had this opportunity to do this PhD. And I did it, and it was really fun. Now, we're talking 1993. That's when I completed that. The topic on which I was working at that time was image processing. Of course, many more things have happened since then in the technology world, as well as in my life. But here we are.
Before UC Santa Cruz, you worked at Apple Computer and also the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory. What professional positions did you work at for these two companies?
Well, I worked at Apple as a senior engineer. At that time, I worked in the so-called interactive media group. I worked on speech compression. I worked on image compression. We were working on different types of multimedia technology. It was pretty exciting. That was the time when Steve Jobs actually came back to Apple after a long absence. After that, I have been holding a position of a senior member of technical staff at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Now, this is a laboratory that is actually a part of NASA. Very, very interesting work going on in there. This is the same laboratory which sent the spacecraft to Mars and the robots to Mars. I was working actually in a machine vision group. We were doing computer vision for autonomous mobility. Now, computer vision is kind of like the denominator of all of my research. And in practice, computer vision is the art of teaching a computer to make sense of the images taken by a camera. So computer vision does things like trying to understand that in front of me there is a person and maybe to recognize this person. Computer vision tries to tell the distance to objects so that a robot can move safely, avoiding obstacles. It can determine what type of object it is that we are seeing, and a lot of things. In fact, computer vision recently has become extremely popular, so it's actually a very good field to be in.
So computer vision helps us better learn about our surroundings, correct?
That's correct. You know, we use multiple sensors to try to get aware of our surroundings. People in robotics have used, for example, sonars. They've used laser range finders, which are tools that compute distances very precisely. And they use cameras. And cameras are very powerful in that they can capture a lot of information. The difficulty is to really translate this information into something that is usable, something that is semantic, something that has meaning, right? Understanding how many people there are on me, if there is anybody actually, or understanding that what I see in front of me is a sign with some text and possibly reading the text for me, or understanding that I am in front of the door of a building, or that there is a bus stop next to me, or there is a bench that I can sit on.
How did you get to UCSC, and how did you get this job as the professor of computer engineering in 2001?
Well, I applied, and they took me. So I had in mind, I really wanted to go back to research. You know, as I worked at Apple, there was not really research, but it was still very exciting. There was what is called R&D, research and development. So we did a lot of software production, which was a lot of fun. But I really, really enjoyed the opportunity to do some more advanced research. And I really like to work with students, and I like to teach. Already, I used to teach a class at the University of Southern California, USC, when I worked at JPL, and it was really fun. So I thought, you know, it is great to have had all of this experience in a company, in a research lab. Let's go back to academia. And so I moved to Santa Cruz in 2001, and I've been there ever since, and it's been a great time. I really like this place. I like the university. It's a relatively small university with a lot of potential. Great students, so I'm very happy to be here.
And definitely Santa Cruz has got the best boardwalk and beach in the world. Let's talk about your research. You've done some special research in accessible technology for the blind. Why did you decide to do research in this area?
This is a good question, and a lot of people are asking me this question. Let me say that I've always been interested in exploring possible application of technology that may have some societal impact, that may help people. Mind you, technology eventually will always have some societal impact in good or in bad. But I wanted to be able to develop something that I could see that could potentially be useful really to somebody. And I've always been sensitive to issues of people with disabilities. So that was also one of the reasons why I wanted to become a professor. I wanted to have some freedom in the research topics that I could choose. And so when I started my career as a professor, I initially continued doing what I was working, which was machine vision for autonomous robots. But slowly, I tried to move towards this area that takes the technical term of assistive technology, and try to build something that could be usable to people who cannot see, who cannot see well. Now, I would say that has been a little bit preposterous on me, in that if you want to develop some technology for a certain community of people, you first need to really know this community of people well. And I think this is the most important lessons that I learned. Engineers like me, way too often, come with solutions in search of a problem. They come and say, hey, I have this fantastic algorithm, this fantastic system, which is going to solve all of your problems, without really, really know what your problems are, how life with a particular disability may or may not be. So to me, it's been a very sobering lesson, which I'm still trying to learn, which is understanding what is the life of a person who cannot see, what are the things that a person who is blind can or cannot do, and trying to really address the right problems and not to make up problems for which I have a solution ready. So this is still, I'm still in this learning phase. I'm making a lot of friends who are blind or have low vision, and I talk a lot with them. I ask for advice. I try to see what it is they can't do well, and in which area technology could perhaps help these people.
You're currently a member of UC Santa Cruz Matter Center. Matter stands for Maximizing Abilities Through Technology, Education, and Research. What's some of the work you've done for the center?
Well, so I'm glad you brought this up. So this center is actually a UC-wide center where UC stands for University of California. And we have different investigators from multiple campuses. So we have researchers and faculty members in psychology, in physical therapy, in surgery, in optometry. And the idea of this center is to try to foster research and education in the general field of technology for people with special needs. That extends to all sorts of special needs. So people in Matter work with children with autism. They work with people who cannot hear. They work with people who suffer from stroke. They work with people who have low vision. So there's a whole set of very different expertises and research. But I believe that there is a common denominator. I like to see this in a holistic view. If you want to help people who have special needs, you need to learn how people live. You need to learn the whole picture, not just concentrate on a very tiny community. So the idea with Matter is to try to get people together, researchers to work in these different fields, and try to learn from each other. And there is a lot to learn. There is a lot that I can learn, for example, from people who work with stroke patients, in part because, you know, the biggest disability of all is getting old. And when you get old, you will probably lose your sight, you will lose your hearing, you can't walk too well, you may suffer from stroke. And so it is very important, in my opinion, that researchers in this field talk with each other. And it's especially important for inspiring graduate students, students who are off to their PhD programs, who need to decide what is important to work on. So we try to expose students to all these different types of disciplines. Because if you want to work in this field, you need to really get out of your comfort zone. You need to get out of your lab. You can't just concentrate on a particular topic, work on your computer program. You really need to go out and talk to people and understand the bigger picture.
And you got to get to know about the blind and visually impaired. What do they see? How do they think? What is their life like? What technology do they even use? And how it can be better, correct?
Absolutely. And it's very important. And it is something that people don't realize that especially engineers or people who just work on technology, they don't realize how important the human aspect it is. So, for example, you may have people who develop a very cool technology that could help you avoid obstacles, perhaps as you walk, without realizing that, probably a white cane, if used properly, may be just sufficient. And you may not want to carry a big system that could be expensive, uses a lot of power. It could be conspicuous, make you stand out in a crowd, to do something that you could do with other simpler means.
So you formed UCSC's Computer Vision Lab in 2001. What's the lab all about? And how does this special place help you research accessible technology for the blind?
It's my laboratory. I used to share that with another faculty member whose name is Hai Tao, who since has left the university. As the name says, the students in the lab work on computer vision, and some of the students also are interested in assistive technology, and some are not. Assistive technology is a very specific field. You need to love it. You need to be really genuinely interested in developing useful technology. And I can't expect that all of my students will really care about that, and that's fine. So my students in the lab work in different projects in computer vision. And we work on, for example, some projects that try to estimate the geometry of a certain environment by taking multiple pictures of it. We have been working on reading text from a picture, in reading barcodes from a picture. We use the iPhone a lot. We do a lot of what is called mobile vision, The iPhone, or any smartphone for that matter, contains a camera. The cameras are getting better and better. Contains a processor, and again, processing power is increasing by the year. So there is a lot that you can do just with a tiny computer you hold in your hand. So again, some of my students work on more general projects, and usually after that, after they get a PhD, they get beautiful positions in big companies or perhaps in academia. And some of the students are actually interested in developing technology that may be helpful for a person who's blind.
How about those camera cell phones? How do they help the blind find their way?
Well, I don't know that as of today they help anybody really find their way, but we hope that someday they will. So you can imagine that there is a tremendous potential from having a wearable camera that could be in your smartphone or perhaps embedded in something that is wearable, maybe glasses. And I'm sure that you've heard about the Google Glass project.
Yes.
Or perhaps simply attached to your garment, like a little a brooch that is attached to your jacket. Now, several blind people whom I know already use camera phones, smartphones, to do things. Probably you're familiar with applications like TapTapSee or VizWiz. These are applications on your phone that allow you to basically take a picture of something and then send this picture off to the cloud and have something or somebody get back to you with a description of what is seen in the picture. That's a beautiful example of what a camera phone can help you with. There are applications, for example, Text Detective, that is made by BlindSight, which is a corporation from Berkeley, California, that read text. You take a picture of the menu of a restaurant, and the system will read that to you. So I don't know exactly how many people are using this type of app. These are still kind of like in their infancy, but certainly there is a lot of potential from apps that use a smartphone, and not just the camera, by the way. A smartphone contains many other sensors. It contains inertial sensors, as they're called, accelerometers, gyroscopes. It contains magnetometers. And you can use this for multiple reasons. For example, a student of mine has developed a very simple app, still a prototype, that allows you to basically track where you are going. The system simply runs the software in your iPhone. The iPhone could be sitting in your pocket. And as you walk inside a building, the system tracks all of the turns that you took. So if at some point you find yourself lost in the building and there is nobody to help, the system can allow you to walk back to your starting point by just tracing back all of the turns that you have taken. These are just some simple examples to show how this wearable technology, technology that you can put in your pocket, could help you do multiple things, even if you cannot see.
One of the projects that you and the lab are currently developing is computer vision without sight. How can our visually impaired users out there access the information about their environment using mobile computer technology, really briefly?
Cameras can be extremely useful, can give you access to a lot of information, but you need to be able to take good pictures. You need to be able to point the camera to the right direction, which is difficult if you can't see. So let me make an example of this technology that we are developing. These apps, they can read text, right? Imagine at the restaurant menu or a bill. But you need to take a good picture of this text. A picture that is well-framed. The text needs to be a good resolution. We ran a good number of experiments with blind people to figure out that this is, in fact, difficult. So we are developing a system that can give you some guidance. You imagine you are trying to read some text of a business card in front of you. You take a picture, but the card is not well framed. The system will tell you, hey, move the phone to the right a little bit and closer to the business card. And take a picture again, and hopefully this new picture will be well taken. So basically, it is a feedback system that will help a blind person take better pictures and therefore access more informative content.
One of our listeners, Beth, from Newport News, Virginia, asks, what is the future of electronic travel, aids for the blind? Anything new on the horizon?
Well, let's see. I think normally what is termed electronic travel aids for the blind are mobility systems. That these systems that help you walk gracefully without bumping into obstacles. I don't know that there is much on the horizon for electronic travel aids. I think that there are things like laser canes that have been proposed and some of my own prototypes, but these things have never found too much success, I think. There is a tool named Orcam, which is developed by Israeli company. It has a camera embedded in a pair of sunglasses, and this is a system that allows you to access information, but not real travel. So I'm not sure that there is much going on in this time about electronic travel aids. Maybe things will change in the future.
How can our listeners learn more about the details of your work? I also understand you have some published books about the work too, along with the new technologies that you're researching for the blind and how they can gain access to such great technologies.
You mentioned a book. This is a book that I edited, meaning that I didn't really write it, but I was able to collect a good number of authors who wrote very interesting chapters. And this is a book about assistive technology in general, chapters for visual impairment. So chapters touch about multiple different things, from low vision to sensory substitution, to the use of cameras, to accessible web. And this book is available through Amazon, I would say. That's the easier way to find it if somebody's interested. What I would suggest is to also, if somebody wants to know more about the work we're doing at UCSC, to look at my website, and that is fairly easy to find. It is user.soe.ucsc.edu/TildeManduchi, that's my last name, MANDUCHI. Or contact me directly, and of course, I'd be very happy to give more information about each single project that is conducted in our lab.
What's that book titled, by the way? Which book are you referring to?
The book I'm referring to is titled Assistive Technology for Blindness and Low Vision, that's published by CRC Press.
That makes a great gift for our listeners. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I guess the only thing I would like to emphasize is that I think that technology has a tremendous role in everybody's life, and also for the life of people with special needs. And if there is any technologists or engineers who are listening, I would really invite them to try to think about what type of technology you would like to build that can help people. But keep in mind that this is a big journey. You really need to know the people first and develop the technology later. I bump into way too many peers and engineers and technologists who start from the other way around. They start from the technology to end to the people, and that's the wrong approach. So start from the problem, not from the solution.
Dr. Manduchi, we hope that the new technology benefits the blind in the near future. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Brian, for having me.
Before we go, I welcome comments and suggestions on today's episode or past and future shows. Just visit and like me on Facebook at Speaking Out for the Blind or follow me on Twitter at Speak Out Blind. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening. And remember to speak out.
Get ready to call, get ready to buy, get ready to bid. I'm telling you why. It's the ACB Holiday Radio Auction coming to town. jewelry and treats and things that sing, a huge OTR collection, accessible games, and gifts for everyone on your list, even yourself. See all 60 items up for bid on the auction preview page at www.acb.org/auction2014. And join us this coming Sunday, December 7th, from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 8 Pacific, right here on ACB Radio. Happy bidding!